Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have Mikey and John joining me, as well as a friend of the program, one of our good friends, Zach Himmels, joining us to talk a little shop today. We've had some professional responsibilities recently, so we've been off the air for a few weeks here, but we're ready to get back into it. Illinois basketball is playing really well, and we have a couple controversies in our own right to go over. Not just a Big Ten title, but we have a watermark gate and a Jordan Bohannon gate that we can discuss amongst the field pass here. But I guess we'll get right into it. Mikey, you were at the game, I guess Saturday and Sunday for the semifinals and final. What was your takeaway? What was it like being there in Indy?
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, I didn't realize how much, although the stadium, I think they're only doing 20% capacity. So there was 8,000 people in there, but it was probably 75% Illini fans. So it was pretty incredible, and got some tickets last minute. So drove up Saturday, thought I was only staying for the game Saturday, and then got about 30 minutes on my way home and got a text that I had tickets for Sunday too. So turned around, got a hotel room, and saw the boys bring home a championship. And it was, it's something that, you know, I'll probably never forget just because of this whole last year with COVID, you know, everything getting shut down. My first sporting event in person, it was unreal. And to have us, you know, bring home the title made it that much better.
With Selection Sunday happening right after the game, and obviously you were there, were they playing that in the stadium for everyone to see? Did you stay there? Did you leave and watch it elsewhere? When did you find out, like, the actual bracket breakdown?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure they were showing it on the Jumbotron, but I stayed until they did the, like, little ceremony after where they gave the trophy to Coach Underwood, and he gave a little talk, and, you know, the ILL, INI chants were roaring through the stadium. But I had to get home because it was, you know, 6 or 7 out in Indy, and, you know, it was a Sunday night, so I had to drive back. But I'm pretty sure it was playing on the Jumbotron.
Did you get to see the infamous boom when they just all stomp in the middle of the?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because they were on, like, this little stage that they rolled out there. And they did one boom, like, they all stomped on it. And I'm like, oh, do not do that again. The last thing we need is that stage just to collapse. And thank God they only just did one boom. And it was cool, though. I had, like, the chills going through my body. It was so much pride for that university and a fan base that's been, you know, staying the course and paying their dues with the football and basketball teams the last few years. So good to see some success, that's for sure.
You know how, like, every good team seemingly has a nickname, like, when, as they're remembered in the, like, we have the Flying Illini, and then, I mean, the 05 team is just kind of the 05 team, D, Darren, and Luther. But I was trying to think of, like, what this team's going to be remembered as, and the boom is such a big thing. They've been stomping after, or they yell it after every three the whole season, and they've been stomping in the locker room doing it. I want it to be like the Boomin' Illini, but I feel like that might just be a ripoff of the Flying Illini, and people might not like that. So
that might, like, gain traction. I feel like that kind of lore really comes to roost when it's tourney time. Like, you get these, like, weird things once. So obviously they were on CBS, so they're getting some national exposure, but yeah. Now with, like, you know, more fans, a little bit more people that can see what's going on, then, you know, you might get people talking about the boom after the three more. You might get these, like, weird national broadcasters who haven't watched an Illini game just being like, oh, and after that three, they said it again. And then you might be able to have
it becomes a thing once the nation's watching. Yeah.
When did the Flying Illini get its name? Did they get it during the season? Were they just calling them the Flying Illini the whole time?
Yeah, I think I mean, we'd have to call in the Illini Oracle, Robert, break down the history. But I'm pretty sure it was throughout the season. They had every single guy in the starting lineup was throwing down dunks and stuff all across the board. So I think it just kind of picked up steam as the season went on. But I'd have to get fact checked on that one because it could have just been some announcer said it at one point in the season. Then all of a sudden it became a thing. But I, I was kind of throwing out the boom in Illini, see if that would stick. Haven't really seen much much reciprocation on that one. So
I think Slam Pain's getting some love. I know Tyler.
Slam Pain's good.
That was a pretty, I mean, that's another thing. Like, I'll always come back to that. Like, Dan, I remember I would gripe to you about this all the time when we were in college watching games. And like the fact that we had no one who could dunk, it'd be like a miracle if Malcolm got like a breakaway dunk, a breakaway. And you're like, oh my gosh, we might see someone.
Ravonte Rice just threw down his first dunk of the season against like Purdue or something.
Yeah. John Hickey missed 5 tip dunks. We just wanted one to go in.
It was like Joe Bertrand was cool because he could dunk and that was about it. But it was just like, why can't we just have like a couple guys like him on the roster more often? And now all of a sudden, just like, oh yeah, we're just going to throw everything up and slam it down. So and that's like the thing with this team that I love so much is that they are so cocky, but in like the best way possible. Like, I don't think it's necessarily like a universally hated like cockiness.
No.
Like, you get some teams out there that, you know, like everyone's going to be, it'd be like a, I don't know, like an AJ Pierzynski type thing where it's like, oh yeah, you love it because you're watching them, but you hate it. It'd be kind of like Luka. I'm sure Iowa fans love him, but like, I just can't stand watching him. But I feel like this Illini team has like that appeal to like, you know, your common fan who's just gonna be watching. They'll be like, wow, these guys are sweet. Like, they just do everything with an enormous amount of swag, which is like the most like boomer saying I've ever just said, but like, it's still so sweet because you even get like little things. Io dropping the ball off to Curbelo is my favorite thing of all time. Like, he will drive, like, he'll get a rebound. It'll be a free throw. Everyone's running down and he just like will drop it on the floor. It'll bounce 3 times. Curbelo picks it up. It's all fine. It's just like those kind of things are just so freaking cool. And I want like them to just go so deep so that people see how they're kind of like the, I'm stealing this from a thought from a buddy, but they're kind of like the Javi Baez of like college basketball. Cause they're so sweet and fun to watch, but they're also so good. Yeah. And that's just like, I hope that they can make a deep run so that they're just dunking on everyone's faces and putting threes in everyone's eyeballs so that we can just be yelling and screaming and enjoying everything.
Whereas Iowa, I feel like it's the bad reputation. Illinois is new, hasn't really been good for a while. Iowa's really fun to watch. There's a lot of good guys on the team. So I agree. I think the national reputation right now is like, this is the fun, exciting team. I want this team to win. Because they're not Gonzaga or Baylor, where they're your heavy favorite. They're a slight underdog in that they're not the top two teams that everyone thinks is going to win the national championship. But I could see people not liking Georgie because he's a talker. We love Georgie as Illini fans, but I can see people not liking him. I can see Curbelo getting under people's skin, but he's a freshman, so he doesn't have the reputation yet. So I think people still like him. And then Io's just a really good player. He's not complaining to the refs like Luka Garza does. And then, you know, there's other, Demonte's just a glue guy. Grandison's kind of a glue guy in his own right. And Adam Miller's the 5-star Mr. Basketball freshman. That's pretty sweet. So, and then there's Kofi obviously too, who's really come into his own right. So there's a lot of guys who would seem like they have defined roles and it's just a fun team to watch. So I think as the nation sees more of them in the spotlight than on CBS, and I guess we're on TBS in the first game, but if they make it far enough, get some more attention to the program, I think people are going to really like this team, and they might be kind of the nation's favorite to win the thing.
It could be like the early Warriors before they became like the dynasty, and everyone started hating them. They're like, oh man, this team is like incredibly fun to watch.
Are you saying and we're like, on the verge of a dynasty?
I mean, Let's get over our fees a little bit, guys. Like, we're gonna roll all the way. Gonzaga's gonna be the only challenge, and then we're gonna start, you know, running it back for Final Fours on end. I'll say it right here. No, I'm just kidding. it's got that kind of vibe where like everyone loved the Warriors because they were like a fun brand of basketball to watch, and they were like fairly like what you were saying about how Illinois hasn't been it for a while. They'll be like, oh yeah, this is like a fun team to root for. So, I mean, I hope that they turn into a dynasty. That would be kind of nice.
We have Io, we have Curbelo, and Mikey actually sent a text about a week ago. I think it was during the Ohio State game. Io and Curbelo were doing their thing, and Mikey sent a text to the group and was like, hey, we should make a Batman and Robin Io and Curbelo picture, edit, meme, whatever you want to call it. So I was like, okay, let's do it. So this was during the game when they were both playing well. I just went in, I go on Snapchat and make my edits. So anyone who thinks these are made on like Adobe Photoshop, yeah, something crazy.
The most expensive software I can buy.
I literally download the pictures and then I cut out their faces on Snapchat and put it on there. It looked pretty good. People thought it looked good. So all of a sudden, it was everywhere. I posted this thing. It blew up immediately. People were retweeting it left and right. Some Flying Illini members might have been stealing it from our page and posting it as their own. You know, it was everywhere. It was super viral. We were getting a lot of interactions on it. I get a text from my mom the next morning. Apparently it had made its way to Facebook. And people, like her friends, were sharing that photo. We didn't even post it on Facebook, but it was like, it had that much staying power. It like was everywhere. So we realized once everyone was taking it, we're like, okay, people are just ripping it and saying like, not saying they took it, or not saying they made it, but they're just taking it. No one knows where it came from. And like, they're getting credit for it. So we're like, okay, we should probably start watermarking things. So flash forward, I made a bracket for the Big Ten tournament. This was right before seeding came out. And I was waiting for the final game on Sunday to finish so that we knew the final seeds. But I had played it all out. So I knew, you know, where everyone was going to fall. So I figured as soon as that game goes final, I'll tweet this bracket out. And maybe it'll be the first one out there. Maybe it'll get some traction. But I assume the Big Ten Network or whoever will tweet out their own version. And that one will get picked up, not just ours. So this time when I built it, I put our logo on it. So no one could just rip it and not give any credit. So it was great. All of a sudden I post it right after the game, gets a few retweets. Iowa basketball's official account somehow picks this thing up. They must have just, whatever intern they had running their account, probably searched Big Ten tournament bracket, found it because it was the only one out there since I put it out first. And they posted it from their official account with our watermark on it. And it was getting, you know, hundreds of likes, all that. And then the Illinois fans picked up on it. And they got in the comment section. We're like, oh, you guys listen to the Field Pass? Good show. We do too. Thanks for promoting Illinois sports. Iowa basketball, number one promoter of Illinois athletic podcasts.
And then we got John Rothstein as well. Like the king of college basketball.
The guy who has a saying that was also borrowed from
it all comes full circle.
Illini board boys. He ripped it as well. People were tagging us and all sorts of people who were just tagging us. There's some Ohio State accounts with hundreds of thousands of followers picking up this thing. And everyone was posting ours, and every single one you could see our watermark in the corner. So that might be the new thing for us going forward, is rock the watermark on all our memes.
Do you guys think when Iowa realized they ripped off your bracket that like the intern or whoever, maybe like, I want a dream scenario of like the intern's boss texts them and like, what the hell are you doing? Like just look in the bottom right corner. And she's just like, all right, I'll delete it right now. My bad. Like that's like, there's just like a ruckus in the background of Iowa basketball because the Field Pass is all over their page and there's a thousand thousands of interactions.
I didn't even mention that part. They did delete the post after it picked up, you know, 1,000 likes and a
screenshots live forever.
Yeah, screenshots.
I tried to tweet at them to get it back. I was like, guys, I want to know what the bracket is. I have no idea who's playing who because you deleted the tweet.
Yeah, no one knows.
They didn't even respond to me.
Yeah, everyone was. Yeah, Iowa basketball fans were not sure if they were even in the tournament after they deleted that thing. Who knew?
They never reposted a new one either, by the way. They just said, screw it, we're done with the Big Ten tournament.
And that they were once Illinois got on the court with them.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa basketball and Twitter, two things do not mix. Water and oil, very bad.
It's a good segue there, John. You're laying that up for our second controversy of the week. We don't mind getting in the mud, but if it's going to get us eyeballs, well, we keep it pretty clean. But Jordan Bohannon, this guy, I mean, he went on Twitter. Illinois beat them pretty handily, 11-point win in the semifinals. And Bohannon goes online after the game. He had made comments that, you know, Illinois is a really good team. You know, the refs didn't cost us this, whatever, in this post-game press conference. But then he goes online and he starts tweeting replays of foul calls that he's like, I don't know why they would call this a foul. So we took that and we posted and just said, hey, you know, Jordan Bohannon's reporting that that should not have been a foul call, which means Illinois would have only won by 9 points. Just pointing out that, you know, if that wasn't a foul call, like he pointed out, it would only have been a 9-point loss. Then he comes back. I kind of want to pull up the actual tweet so I don't misquote him here, just in case he listens. I know he's online quite a bit, so I wouldn't be shocked if he...
See, that's a weird thing, too, is this dude is, like, pretty online. Like, he loves being, like, Mr. TikTok. He's obviously on Twitter a fair amount, getting after, you know, his tweets about the falls and whatnot. So you know that he's a dude who's on his phone a bunch. And to not understand, like, a joke is just, like, it's mind-boggling. Like, I don't get how he's, like, that unaware. And I would love to have him on the pod so I could ask him that right to his face. Like, how do you not understand that we're joking about? Because obviously, like, and see, this is the thing, too. If I want to break it down to, like, the nth degree, then it's like, well, obviously, if they don't call that foul, then we're obviously joking because you wouldn't have lost by 9 exactly, because then who knows how the game plays out. We're just making a joke at your expense because you're going into this after saying your comments post-games about how, right. Oh, yeah, there was nothing that actually, like, the refs were fine. It's like,
the why point out a foul call? So, like, he points out a foul call. We say, oh, I guess if he's right, then we would have only won by 9. It's a joke, obviously.
Exactly.
But then he comes back.
Joke, brother.
He took the bait on that one, and he quote tweeted it and said,
he ate the trash.
Not once did I say we lost because of officiating. If you listened to my post-game press conference, you would know that. But you guys seem to be great on your podcast. Thanks for the shout out.
Thank you.
To take a tweet headline and run with it. Simply pointed out a call in my mind that wasn't even close to a foul. So when we got that, I'm like, okay, well, not once did I say we lost because of officiating. Did we say in our post that he's saying that he lost because of officiating? No, we just said there was one call that could have changed the score by 2 points, but he thought we were accusing him, I guess, of saying that they lost because of officiating. And that's not directly what we were saying. We were making a joke at his expense. Then he came, or we came back and just said, he tweeted this all like 20 minutes before Illinois was playing in the championship game. So we just said, all right, let's discuss later, busy watching the championship. And then he responded and said, let's see if that banner stays up. If you guys do win, good luck. Obviously insinuating that Illinois' banner's not going to stay up, which...
It's just wild. Like, that's the most impactful tweet in this entire thing. Like, obviously it's funny, like, you get into the mud a little bit, you know, you're telling jokes, but for him to just like come out over the top, like, how butthurt is this guy that he's like, oh yeah, like, good luck having that banner stay up. It's like, okay, I'm like, cool, dude, someone's really upset.
He got quite ratioed on his tweet. Angry Illini fans everywhere. I saw articles written about it. It was on the front page of websites. Reddit had it up there as a big article, and big, like, national people were picking up on it. So it was interesting that he took the leap to make an accusation like that. And I'm surprised, you know, speaking of things that he doesn't think will stay up, I'm surprised that tweet is still up, to be honest, that no one really got on him. But, you know, we're not in the business of taking shots or, like, you know, like going in on a kid that's a college athlete that's, you know, he wants to be online. We're not trying to, like, tear anyone down. We simply made a joke. He kind of escalated it, and we're like, all right, well, we're watching the championship, so we'll leave it at that. And then, you know, he took a shot at the program. Illinois got the banner. As far as I know, it's going to be hung. I haven't heard any speculation that it's coming down anytime soon, so I don't know what he was getting at, but I hope it's 50 years from now we can quote tweet it and be like, still up.
Mikey, did you ever have anything like that on Twitter? Like, I know you're probably not as online, but, like, did you ever have any, like, interactions with fans of, like, whether it be Illini or other teams, where you're just like, why are you so online? Or did you ever let yourself get into it too much online?
No, I was just going to bring that up. It surprises me how active he is online, coming at a podcast for a different school when he's getting ready to, you know, play in March Madness and go try to win a national title. You know, it's just a distraction. And, you know, Coach Underwood and that whole team, they all talk about culture, and that's the difference between the Illini and Iowa. You know, there's one of the leaders of their team fighting back and forth with a podcast and our guys None of that. Because
wait, make sure you keep in the part where he called us a great podcast.
Yeah, not just any podcast, a great podcast.
Great podcast. It's super surprising to me because, you know, he's got a lot more to lose on his end than we do on our end. So anytime it's not surprising though, because I've been looking at his Twitter now. I saw an interview he did with another podcast, and he's swearing and saying all this stuff about what the NCAA gave to him. And it's just like,
and he doubled down on Illinois' banner coming down on that podcast as well.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're one of the starters on a number two seed, and you're, you know, doing all this stuff, causing all these distractions, and, you know, no one, he hasn't stopped, so no one on the team is like, dude, what are you doing? You know, so it's pretty crazy to me, and I would, back in my playing days, I never would have done anything like that.
Yeah.
Now, I got a question actually for Zach, because no one here knows, because Zach is the first time, long time guy, but he's more of a gut guy, we'll say, not really an analytics boy. In talking about the preview of the tournament, you know, who you might be betting on, who you're picking in your bracket, when you hear that kind of analysis from a guy like Mikey Dudek, how does that change your perception of a program like Iowa going forward?
I'm
willing to write them off like now. Like, I'm just thinking that their locker room is like, you know, Fran can't control the guys.
They're reading their headlines.
Losing the first round, second round at the farthest.
Here's the thing about Jordan Bohannon. Just seeing Curbelo get under his skin is a problem. Like, the kid's 18, 19 years old. And I don't know if you guys saw that, but in the Iowa-Illinois game in the Big Ten.
He threw a little two-handed push.
Threw a two-handed shove on Curbelo because he's been dominating him all game. I mean, that just says all you need to know about Jordan Bohannon. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. If I was in his position, I'd probably be the snarky athlete online too. Like, I love throwing tweets out there, but I'm just not a good athlete. So I don't have that, you know, I don't have to worry about that part. But yeah, he needs to just kind of chill. I think he just needs to relax, play some basketball and hopefully go far. I'm not saying shut up and dribble. I just don't think he needs to be like going at people in the background before he's getting ready for the biggest tournament of his life. I mean, I don't know. So, cause I do like when these guys use their voice. I like getting to know these guys. I think it's pretty cool. Like, just seeing like their personality shine through all the media and stuff like that. I think that's a great part of the game, but he's letting it get to his head a little too much. Right. I mean,
yeah, I agree. When you're lashing out at a podcast, making a joke at his expense, I mean, it's coming off a loss. I'm sure he's competitive. I'm sure he's not happy about the loss and is, you know, channeling his anger at podcast tweets. But
Mikey, I don't know if you ever got any like people tweeting at you bad stuff after a game, negative stuff, but like, did you even look at it? If you did you even see it, or did you even, I mean, obviously you didn't react to it, but did you see it?
I feel like you see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you see it. I mean, you try to hold back the urge to look at it, but you always look at it. You know, so people say some crazy things online because, I guess you could just hide behind your computer or your phone and, you know, talk shit to college, pro, whatever athletes. And, you know, they'll never see you, you know, they'll never find you. None of that.
Unless Kevin Durant, you're seeing all that, getting in the weeds, mixing it up.
Like, you should have gotten the burner game.
Yeah.
No, it's MD
Flash sucks. 7. Yeah. No one would ever suspect.
It's crazy. And I'm definitely going to be following his tweets throughout the tournament, because there's going to be, you know, they're not going up against Big Ten schools for the, you know, first two games. So there'll probably be some other fan bases tweeting at him, and we'll get some more reactions. Maybe the next podcast will have a little Jordan segment where we go over some of his tweets.
We definitely have to put hashtag Bohannongate in the title of this episode so that he finds it and listens. But Jordan, when you're listening to this, no ill will. Best of luck to Iowa. We'd love to have you on if you want to.
That's what I was going to say. Have him on. Squash the beef.
We'll reach out.
The podcast and
I mean, Iowa apparently is obsessed with the field pass between Bohannon tweeting at us and their official account reposting all our content. So I mean, you're more than welcome to come on. We'd love to have you and discuss Iowa's big first round win against Grand Canyon.
Huge.
Speaking of which, I say we get into a little bit of tourney talk now that we got through the two big field pass controversies of the week. Illinois obviously drew Drexel round one at Selection Sunday. Going to be going up against the Dragons, and then a potential second round matchup against the infamous Sister Jean. I say infamous because of, was it 2018's run? The 2018 run. I can't even remember what year it is nowadays. 2018.
It had to be because Kirkwig's still there, right? I mean, it has to be 18 or 17.
It was the 2018 Loyola Ramblers. I think they made it all the way to the Final Four, but Cam Krutwig, their starting center, who's a really good player still. I think KenPom has him as like a top five or six player in the country on their player of the year ratings. He's on that team. I think they're a top 10 KenPom team, but they drew an 8 seed. Kind of a tough draw for Illinois should they pass, should Loyola pass Georgia Tech in the first round. But what are you guys' initial impressions on this year's bracket, Illinois with the 1 seed in the Midwest?
So for me, I was kind of at first, I think what most Illinois fans are feeling is kind of the maybe jadedness or I think we might be conditioned a little bit as well to be like, oh man, everyone's out to get the Illini. And I do think we have a pretty tough draw. But then like Robert put me in like the perfect mental state with just his question that he put out Sunday night, where he was like, do you think this team with Brad Underwood as its head coach would want like an easy cakewalk to the Elite Eight or Final Four? Or do you think that he wants like, you know, the tough road that you have to travel with, you know, possibly, you know, Sister Jean and all that, and then Cade Cunningham, or, you know, even the storyline of him being the former OK State coach for 1 year. So then all that, like, I think that this team kind of thrives off that. And I think it's actually perfect that they went to, you know, like OT against Ohio State. So they've had to keep their senses sharpened and stay with that kind of like hungry instinct and keep that riding. Cause I mean, they're playing unreal basketball. They're peaking at the right time, but you don't want them to, you know, be reading the press clippings a little bit too much. And so if you get this narrative going now of, oh yeah, we're, you know, possibly the second best team in the country, but we have, you know, the hardest draw of any one seed. People are saying like, oh, Houston has an easier draw than they do. But at the same time, I kind of love that because, you know, that football guy, Brad Underwood, is going to be getting in the locker room and getting those boys focused and ready to go.
Yeah, To be honest, it doesn't matter who we're playing in. You know, it doesn't. Like, I am confident in Illinois now going up against anybody in the country. I mean, you think about the Baylor game back in December, what we lost by 11. We are night and day.
I know. I want a rematch with them in the Final Four.
So do I. And it's like, I was watching on ESPN last night. They had like a bracket with Jay Billis, and a lot of people had the Illini Final Four, and a lot of people had them losing to Oklahoma State in the Sweet 16. Yeah. And it's, to me, I'm like, Cade Cunningham, like, cool. We have Io, we have Kofi, we have Crabella. Like, our team is stacked. You know, we have a deep bench where we can play 8, play 9, and, you know, give the starters a quick blow. And it's, you know, the only thing I'm nervous for is that it's March and we all know anything can happen, but my confidence in this team is off the charts.
I think it's awesome draw for us. Actually, I went back and forth in my head going from this is a terrible draw to an awesome draw. So you can just imagine the emotions, you know, I mean, how do you flip flop from that? But Illinois, I mean, and this draw also tells you they look at this stuff for marketing purposes. Like, obviously, Loyola Chicago.
Storylines.
Huge round of 32. Like, I mean, that's a great storyline. Sister Jean, I know, like, we're going to be going against a representative of Jesus Christ himself. But, like, I think we have a great shot at getting right to the Sweet 16. And then Oklahoma State, I mean, they still have to play Tennessee. We forget Tennessee was a top 10 team in the country. They can't score the ball worth like a crap, right? And they're terrible at scoring the ball right now. But if they get back to form, one game, two games, three games, I mean, you just got to get hot, and that's a really good team. Oregon State's one of the hottest teams in the country after rolling through the Pac-12. I don't believe in the Pac-12. I think they're pretty weak. But but like Oklahoma State's not just going to cakewalk to the Sweet 16. Do we want to see Oklahoma State in the Sweet 16? Absolutely. I mean, that's a marquee matchup. That's like the most star-studded game we get that early in the tournament. And then it all plays out. And then once you get past Oklahoma State, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think no one else in the bottom part of our region is going to be a tougher play than Oklahoma State. Like, I'm not scared of Houston. I mean, I think we might be playing Rutgers.
Bring the damn Bulls to town. We'll take out the Chicago Bulls.
I don't care.
Anybody. Yeah.
Patrick Williams, I don't care. Bring them all. But, yeah, I just
put Georgia out.
I just don't think anyone in that bottom half of the bracket scares me as much as Oklahoma State, but I think we're still the better team. And, like, Illinois basketball, just our formative years, we've been, like, going through college in the Gross era. No offense, Gross. I'd still dive on a loose ball for you. But, like, we were pessimistic. We're just pessimistic fans. Like, look at it from an outsider's lens. They think we should roll to the Sweet to the Elite Eight, to the Final Four. I think that's how we should feel, and we shouldn't expect anything less out of this team. But anything can happen, obviously. But sit back, enjoy it. And I think we're like the best team by far in our – so that's why I think our road is not that – you know, we didn't get that bad of a draw once I sit back and take a bigger look at it, bigger picture. So
I was calling it the orange region because we had Illinois, Tennessee, Oregon State, Oklahoma State, Syracuse, Clemson. Like all the orange teams just happen to be in this regional, I guess is what they call it. But – looking at our draw, I'm kind of with you guys. Drexel Dragons, like 20-point underdogs. If we lose to them, I'll eat a hat live on the podcast. I just don't see any way that team comes out, and they don't have a guy big enough to guard Kofi. I think their starters are all like under 6'10 or something, so I'm not too worried about that. And then we did get a tough draw in the 8-9 matchup, like you said. Like I think this is probably the two best 8-9 teams just happen to be in our regional and are matched up against Illinois.
I wouldn't want to face LSU either as an 8-9. Really? That's the only other one. But
I just think, Loyola's KenPom has them as top 10 team. Like they're very good by metrics. And then Georgia Tech's won 8 or 9 straight, just won the ACC championship. And I know Virginia had to pull out and they had, won on one of those games by forfeit, but still they came in. They're playing really good basketball. So, you know, one of those teams, we're going to get a good team regardless of who wins that matchup in round two, in the round of 32. But I still think, like you said, Zach, like Illinois is that much better and deeper. And I don't see us losing, even if Sister Jean's sending a prayer up to try to take down the home state school.
Here's a quick question on who you'd rather want to face in the Elite Eight. If we get to the Elite Eight, obviously, would you rather face Alan Griffin in the Orange, or would you rather face Paul McKay one more time in Rutgers? Because that's a tough question. So I'll let you guys answer it.
I want Alan Griffin.
I have my opinion. You want?
I want Alan Griffin just because that was my guy, and him. Like I don't know exactly why he left. I didn't understand because it seemed like he was playing very productive minutes, and maybe there were some things off the court that stipulated him leaving. But it's one of those where I want him to like be defeated at the hands of the Illini so that he can know like, oh yeah, it's kind of how I feel about EJ Liddell every single time. I'm like, yeah, you could have been on this team and would have been the best team possibly ever. If EJ Liddell was on this team, we would have never lost a game by more than 5 points. It's a guarantee.
Yeah.
And Alan Griffin could have been that similar, he's not a four, but like that similar piece where it's like, oh yeah, you just add depth to the shooting, a great defender, good length. And for that, and then Syracuse to die by the hands of the Illini, it would feel so good. Feel so good. So
and
I want
get
that.
You get the battle of the coaches' kids, Tyler Underwood against Buddy Boeheim, too. That could be
he
a big
shoot.
Matchup.
Buddy can shoot.
He could put up 30 on us. Buddy
he could.
Shoot.
Buddy is kind of nice.
I'm kind of worried, too, about Syracuse in the sense that they play that 2-3 a lot of times and they press all game, and we haven't really seen that. So I'd be curious how we'd handle it, but with Curbelo just dribbling,
shooters.
Curbelo like has never had a ball stolen from him while he's just dribbling it up the court. He only turns the ball over when he's passing or jump passing. That's my take. I've never seen him like get a ball stolen from him when he's just dribbling around. I think at the end of the Ohio State game, even or something, like they were running out the clock and he just dribbled through four guys and casually by himself, spinning around incredible. Through the legs, behind the back. It didn't matter. They can't take the ball from him. But I don't know. At the bottom half of the bracket, well, actually, let me touch on Tennessee, Oklahoma State. Everyone, I know, Zach, you said don't overlook Tennessee. I'm kind of with you. Like, everyone's talking about Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham, Io, Sweet 16 matchup. And, like, Tennessee is really good. They have a lot of good players. They're young as well. But Oklahoma State's a young team, and I just don't know. If you shut down Cunningham, they have a couple guys, but I mean, Tennessee's...
They're really good.
They're really good. They've been playing... But, like, people forget Tennessee was arguably the best team in the SEC for the first half of the year. Like, they're, I think, just as good, and I think deeper than Oklahoma State. But that game should be a really good game, assuming both teams get past their, you know, Oregon State and Liberty, the 12 and 13 seeds, and they match up. Like, that'll be a really good game, and everyone's talking about Cade Cunningham, and I want to see Cade Cunningham just because I think the matchup of that, him against Iowa, would be just a really fun game to watch. But I kind of think Tennessee might actually win that game, and not a lot of people are making that prediction.
I don't want that game one bit. I mean, I do want it because I want, like, Underwood to go back and be like, yeah, no, sorry, guys. Like, I just went on to bigger and better things, and this is my magic. But, like, in terms of matchups for U of I, like, I don't feel scared of really anyone except for Oklahoma State, because I mean, they are the hottest team outside of the Illini in the NCAA. Like, they ended on an equally as impressive streak as U of I did.
I would say San Diego State's the hottest team outside of Illinois.
Oklahoma State just lost in the championship game.
That's they lost.
I'm just
Texas.
Saying, like, in terms of the run of teams that they just beat.
Yeah,
like, they demolished Baylor.
I mean, they're good, and like beating, I said, there's a good chance they do make it. They're probably
taking care
be
of
favored.
A good Oklahoma team. Like, they're a very good team, and the only reason that I'm scared, like, yeah, there are other hot teams out there. I'm just saying, in terms of the matchup that they present, because Cade Cunningham is, like, the only dude I think that could really not only neutralize Iowa, actually outperform him, and then they have enough depth. I'm not saying that they have more depth than us, but they have enough where they can take care of business otherwise. And it really, honestly, I don't even think it would come down to, like, U of I dictating the pace of that game. It would come down to whether or not Cade Cunningham wants to take over and win against U of I. And if he does, then I think we might be really sad, because that dude, when he turns it on, is probably the best player in college basketball. No offense to Io, but it's just that he's got, like, another gear in terms of being able to, like, create shots for himself and distribute the ball. And it's apparent why he's probably the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Because he's just so damn good. And he's, like, the only dude, like, even, like, I know Jalen Suggs is unreal and that Gonzaga team is so good, but they don't even really scare me. Like, I mean, they scare me as much as a number one overall team will, but I think we can match up well with a Gonzaga especially if it's a national championship game. But the one matchup that I've got circled in terms of, like, I'm going to be really, really scared of this is Oklahoma State if that comes to fruition.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I kind of disagree with you just because they don't have a big man. Like, they play Caleb Boone, who's 6'9 or whatever, and Cade Cunningham, 6'8, but they don't have someone to guard Kofi. It's Bernard Kuma, of all people, off the bench, and he plays like 3 minutes a game. But otherwise, it's their 6'9 guy trying to guard Kofi. And, like,
he's
we have
big and long, though. He's not like a slight 6'9. Like, what, LeRon Black was 6'9, right?
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, like,
never going to be a banger in the post.
Kofi's got 90 pounds on this kid.
Oh,
and,
I know.
And 3 inches. And I just think the thing about, like, Illinois this year, which is crazy to say, is we have two of the top 10 players in the country. They have one of the top 10 players in the country. So if Io can neutralize Cade Cunningham, at least to some degree, then we have the second, you know, the third best player on the court, and they don't really have anyone to match up against them. So I actually like the matchup. They're a smaller team. We play pretty well against smaller teams. It's when you get the big physical teams like Michigan State or Rutgers when they're coming at us that we seem to struggle. So I don't mind that. And that's what Tennessee is to me. They're kind of a big physical team.
But they've got enough length. See, that's the thing, is, like, they're a good athletic team that's got enough length. And that's what also gives U of I problems. Like, if you look at Ohio State, like, yeah, they don't have some unreal size, but because they have a bunch of dudes who are, like, good long athletes, they can get O rebounds at a clip that you would not expect against a U of I team that is pretty dominant when it comes to getting defensive boards. So that's one of those where, like, they've got, yeah, I would agree, obviously, that Kofi you know, can outclass anyone as long as he's on his game, but you can still get, you know, a lot of potential for bad defensive possessions because they are a good and athletic team and have a good enough supporting cast with good enough length.
Yeah. I just don't see it. They're 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", and then 6'8", 6'9", are pretty much the main guys they play. So you know, they're not, I don't think they're overly outsizing Illinois, even at the other positions where we've been able to handle a lot of those teams like your Ohio States this year that don't, they play kind of one big and then a bunch of, you know, average size, good athletes that are solid players. We've been able to handle those. So I don't know. It would be an interesting matchup. Cade Cunningham is kind of a game breaker, but I think just having two game breakers and Io and Kofi might be able to just outlast them in a game like that. But we'll see. I mean, Illinois would probably be favored in that game, but it definitely would be one that'd be considered close. And then on the bottom half of the Midwest bracket, we talked about San Diego State, winners of, I think, 14 straight. 14. Yeah. They're pretty good. They're scary. They're going to have to get past Syracuse, who snuck into the tournament. And obviously, like we said, Alan Griffin, Buddy Boeheim, they have a lot of tournament experience on that roster. Syracuse seemingly is always in the tournament. And they play that 2-3 zone, so they'll be tough. And then I think the team to beat in the bottom half of the Midwest is West Virginia. They're good. They lost Oscar Tshiebwe like early
yeah,
in the
like
season.
A stud. No,
he was a stud center. I think he transferred like Kansas or Kentucky or something. But
yeah, he went to Kentucky, former 5-star McDonald's All-American. We were actually in play for him in both versions of his recruitment. So kind of sad, but apparently they got better without him.
Yeah. I mean, but they still have good players like Miles McBride's very good. Derek Culver's good. Emmett Matthews, like a lot of young guys, but they have really good length. And as long as their guards are making shots, they're a team that like I don't want to see them just because of that matchup. But the bottom half, they'd have to get past Clemson or Rutgers, and they'd have to get past Houston.
Clemson's frauds. Clemson's bad. I mean, they can't score. Literally, like if we face Clemson somehow, I would drag the line up 15 points and give Illinois minus 23 or whatever it would be at that point. Clemson is terrible. They
Zach
like
taking out a mortgage to gamble on the Illini.
They can't score 50 points in an ACC game. But I guess, like, now is the fun part. Is the Big Ten really the best conference? We'll find out. I mean, there's a heavyweight of conference play on all these rankings.
Right.
It was not the non-conference schedule that everyone usually gets. There was some. I mean, Iowa and Gonzaga played at the beginning of the year, and Gonzaga, it was a good game. There's, you know, obviously some marquee matchups, but is the Big Ten going to hold up?
Well, and the fact is, like in Indy too, where we just played the tournament, it's going to be one of those where, if you don't have the 10 teams showing out, then tough. It's going to be like back when I was like debating with high school buddies about the old Big East versus the Big Ten, like who has a better conference, then you just like root for whatever side you're not on to falter. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people out there because the Big Ten's been touting itself as, you know, oh, this is like the best conference possibly ever. And then
just waiting for
out there and fall flat on our face. Not going to be the greatest look.
Yeah. And then you have Houston, the 2 seed. Obviously, I think that's probably the best draw we could have gotten of any of the 2 seeds. Yes. With them not matching up Big Ten team with another Big Ten team, 1-2. So Iowa and Ohio State got bumped to play Gonzaga and Baylor, and it was either Bama or Houston, and I'm fine with Houston. They, again, another really small team. The only thing I really know about them is they had the Kansas transfer, Quentin Grimes, who's awesome. He's their star, and then they play like Marcus Sasser and a couple other dudes that are pretty good guards, but they're a quick team. They're, you know, I think they like to run quite a bit. So
look at their losses. They lost to like Tulsa and like East Carolina.
True.
I think. Like two of their three losses are against teams that are like, what?
Yeah. What happened there? Yeah. So, and like they play in the American Athletic Conference. So they're playing teams like Memphis and Western Kentucky and people like that, South Florida. It's like not the toughest competition, especially when, and they're, I'm trying to look who they beat, Texas Tech, Boise State, and those are their best wins. Memphis, Texas Tech, Memphis, and Boise State are their best wins of the year, so they haven't really been tested. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't even make it to the point where they play Illinois. I kind of see them falling early to either maybe a Rutgers or a West Virginia or it's San Diego State or something like that. But I don't even think we're going to see that team. I mean, they are a 2 seed. They've won quite a few games this year. They play really good defense. So it would be an interesting matchup. But I think assuming Illinois can get through like Loyola and either Oklahoma State or Tennessee, or I guess they could play Georgia Tech early instead of Loyola. But assuming we get there, we get to the Elite Eight. I don't know that we'd even see Houston.
Question for the forum, because as we're all filling out our brackets, my one thought, because it's a centralized location, could it possibly get a little chalky because, like, you know, there's not as many like variables and, you know, with a controlled amount of fans, like you might have over representation by, you know, the higher seed or the lower seed, whoever has the lower number next to their next to their name. I'm kind of interested to see how this like bubble plays out, because then I feel like it could be kind of viable going forward. I mean, I love the regionality to a degree, but at the same time, like, this will be kind of cool to just have every single team in one spot.
I mean, well, so they're in what, 4 different locations around the state of Indiana?
I think more than that.
Is it?
Okay. Well, because like Mackey, Purdue's place, Assembly Hall, then it's like Banker's Life, wherever Farmers and Coliseum, then.
And then Lucas Oil.
Lucas Oil. Like, but I think after the first round, Mackey and Assembly Hall both get phased out and they're only playing first round games there. And then maybe it breaks down to 4, but I think there are. And then, Hinkle is also, Butler's Stadium is hosting some games too. So there's quite a few just for the first round, just because there are so many games to be played. But then it whittles down to a few locations, but it'll not be more than like 100 miles from Indy that all these games will be played for the first round. So not a whole lot of travel, and all the teams are already made in. And I saw everyone's passed their initial COVID test, saying so no teams have to be replaced this tournament, which is good.
Do any of us worry about like how Illini would it be if they'll try to like discount this title? No. How Illini would it be if people try to discount this title? Because like, oh yeah, like Kentucky and Duke were both having down years and it was like the first year after coronavirus. Like, I mean, I'll take it. I don't give a flying damn. But it'll be funny if like if it does turn into like a dynasty, it'll be like people nitpicking titles like they do with like LeBron, where they'll be like, oh, Dirk's won titles more than LeBron's, you know, first 3.
You so hit him with the,
if that ever happens.
Hit him with the, well, actually, Gonzaga was the highest rated KenPom team of the KenPom era, like better than the 2015 Kentucky team. So if somehow, some way Illinois finds a way into the championship or wins the whole thing, you have that to say,
our title's actually worth more than.
They had the best team in the last 20 years this year, and Illinois still won the thing, but I'm not ready to make that call.
The Big Ten Conference was the second best conference of all time for KenPom, right?
I think so.
And like Duke and Kentucky just don't deserve to be there. They played, just had terrible teams. I mean, you can't be a bad team and complain about an asterisk tournament.
I'm just saying,
if you're just going to not be good.
To all the hypothetical haters of our national title, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm saying it already.
And I feel bad. Like, let's talk. I know it's feeling like Kansas. I feel terrible for Kansas. They just got wrapped in the blue blood thing. It's like they're having a normal. I mean, they're not like top 5, but they're still
A 3 seed or whatever.
Kansas is a good team. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure Kansas should be, but they get the wrap with UNC too. And UNC like turned it on at the end of the year. Also, another 8-9 I would be a little scared of because their front court's huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the blue bloods, half the blue bloods not being in it. Not COVID's fault. They just stunk.
And you know it's eating away at a perceived blue blood of Indiana that they're not even able to do this when it's, you know, Hoosier basketball and they've got the epicenter of college basketball right there. And, oh, yeah, suck. You're going to have games played in your building, but you're not going to be a part of it.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. We can reconvene, hopefully, after Illinois gets through Drexel and either Loyola or Georgia Tech after this first weekend. Hopefully we can sit back here and break down the Sweet 16 Elite Eight matchups and maybe beyond. But thank you to everyone who's been listening, including Jordan Bohannon. Shout out to you.
If you're still here.
We do have t-shirts for sale now, and you know, whoever's bought those, thank you for doing so. We sold out pretty quickly in the first week, and we have a restock coming here in the next, I think, couple days. So be on the lookout if you're looking for a Field Pass football shirt. I know it's basketball season, but they'll be available. What else? Anything else, guys?
Follow Zach on Twitter at That's Neat Dude, and also follow him on Snapchat for Zach Eats. Check out his blog at the Mind of Zach, and look out for his sick edits. I don't know which of the three I prefer, the old blog, the Zach Eats on Snap, or the edits that come out for all the marquee Illinois matchups.
If you're deep into Illini Twitter, you might run into me. But if not, I'm not like the
he doesn't have like watermark game as good as ours.
I'm not the Kettering Princes of the world. I'm not the doctors of the world. But I'm out there. So I know a lot of listeners have to be deep into the Illini Twitter game. I'm out there. I'm Sean Paul, and I appreciate you guys. But I do appreciate you guys having me on. It was fun. So
of course.
All right, be on the lookout. I have another idea for a watermark type of viral Illini tweet coming soon. So I'm hoping it catches on, and I'd let as many people steal it as they want, as long as it's got the watermark on it. But thanks for listening. I'm Go Illini.